Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Some happy birthdays are in order. Head strength and conditioning coach and chief of staff for U of L basketball, men's basketball, Eli Foy, it's his birthday, as well as video coordinator Braden Connor. I know this because I have the page up. Because we are waiting for Coach Kelsey's press conference. And he should be meeting the media right now. If you go to the Twitter, he's at the podium right now.
All right, buddy. How y'all doing? Thanks for coming out.
Coach CD Kaplan, Card Chronicle. Have you been able to work with this new, essentially new squad long enough to develop what your defensive philosophy might be? And if so, how might that look schematically?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, it's pretty cool. Afternoon in June to have a press conference, look around, have a packed room like this. The passion for Louisville basketball never ceases to amaze me. So kudos to Cardinal Nation and to you guys for coming out. Love that question. When you ask, have I been around my guys to know enough of what our defensive identity is going to look like, we had a pretty good idea going in of what we do and how we do it defensively. Obviously, when we recruit, we take those things into consideration, who are the type of players that kind of fit who we play. I think I might have been asked this at the press conference, the introductory press conference, I'm not sure. We are predominantly, I would say, 99.9% a half-court man-to-man team. I think it's an interesting dichotomy that we do play fast on the offensive end. There's a lot of possessions in our game. We tilt the floor. But our philosophy in the half court is more of a half court man-to-man team. I compare us schematically a lot to Alabama in that regard. Both have a lot of possessions in their game. They push the ball offensively, but hang their hat on a tough, tenacious, nasty half court man-to-man defense.
Coach, how did the Bahamas thing come about? What do you hope to get out of it? Can I take you through that?
Yeah. First of all, tip of the cap to our administration for making this happen in a very, very short turnaround, because it's not something that was planned on. Again, that's the commitment of basketball being good around here and the things that it takes for basketball to be good, the wind to be at our back. And with a completely new roster, signing 13 players in 2.5 months, coming from parts all over, you're limited in a lot of ways in terms of the NCAA rules in the amount of time you can be on the floor with your players per week. I'm sure all you guys are aware of this, maybe not the specifics, but 4 hours is the time that you're allowed to spend on basketball. That includes film, that includes anything on the floor. Obviously, you have additional time for other things like strength and conditioning. The total number of hours is 8. when you go on a foreign trip, the NCAA allows you, on top of those, you know, 4 hours that you have throughout the week, to have 10 full practice days, the type of practice days that you would have throughout the course of the season, where there aren't those type of limitations. So it's great. It really allows us to speed up kind of the growth curve of this team, both implementing what we do, how we do it, our system, our terminology, teaching guys how we practice, the philosophy being that, you know, when we get to the end of those 10 practices, we get a great head start, you know. So when we get back together, when it really, really starts ramping up and it counts for real, when practice starts at the end of September and the beginning of October, we could look back to these 10 practices and go, man, you know, we're way farther ahead than we should have been. So that was the main point of it. Obviously, these foreign tours, there's a cultural aspect to it as well, where you get to leave the country, go somewhere else. That's going to be cool. The other part of it is just the team building, the team chemistry, the camaraderie, the rapport, through getting to spend more time together on the floor, and then, you know, obviously going on a trip together and being at a pretty darn cool hotel and resort for a while, getting to know each other, putting some suntan lotion on, swimming, doing a little wave surfing or whatever the crap you call it, potty surfing. So we're going to have a good time as well. So I think we'll be further along in terms of our basketball system, and we'll be further along in terms of, you know, what we call the power of the unit.
We'll talk about Pat. Thank you. You know, just thinking back to, you know, the first few weeks of summer workouts, is there a moment that sticks out to you where you've kind of seen these guys, you know, show off and, you know, compete the hardest? Like, has there been a moment that sticks out where you think about, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of a moment where I thought they competed the hardest, I think that's been something that I've been, I don't want to say pleasantly surprised or pleased with, because I expect it. I mean, I think these guys going hard as crap every day. They're working hard. That's one of the things we hang our hat on, is competing, right? And we compete in June, we compete in July, we compete in the preseason, we compete in practice in January and February. So that is always at the kind of center of what we do. Is there one moment? Is there one loose ball? Is there one charge? Is there one crash the glass for an offensive rebound and a tip and a put back? I don't know if I could pick one right now, but the dudes have been getting after it and they're playing hard, competing.
Talk about team camaraderie and bringing this group together. It's a group of veterans, obviously, except for one really talented freshman. In these early stages, are you seeing maybe a couple guys step to the forefront as far as from a leadership perspective?
It's a good question. I mean, with an older group, savvy veteran guys, and they've been successful where they've been, and they come from good programs and good coaches, and they all, I would say, they lead in their own ways. You know, some guys are a little bit more vocal. Gosh, Javon Hadley, you know, as a for instance. I'm picking him out, but because, you know, you hear his voice a lot. You know, he's, and then there's other guys that lead more by, you know, what they do in their example. You know, they're guys that are in the gym early, that are in there late, how they go about their business. So I like to think we have a team full of guys that lead, and that lead in different ways. I mean, even the young dudes, Kanai, you know, he's been awesome since he's been here. He was away last year at the high school he went to, so he's a little bit used to being away, being in a dorm, living away from mom and dad. He goes about his business like a vet. James Scott, I've talked about him ad nauseum, just the advanced basketball mind that he has and the advanced approach to work. So I'm proud of even those young guys, not just the old guys, in terms of how they're going about stuff.
Yeah, when you guys ask a question, make sure you identify yourself so coach can put a name to a face. So go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. Jeff Lighty here. Coach, is anybody that's standing out? I know you had limited practice, but is anybody that's standing out so far after recruiting 13 new guys?
That's hard to say. I can't sit here on June 25th and go, man, this guy. You know, everybody's shown flashes. Listen, the June part of this, and I've been doing this a long time. My staff, it drives them nuts. I always say this. I've been doing this a long time. I think I'm a dinosaur now. When you get to, I don't know what point in your career where you're considered a dinosaur. I see some of these young coaches, and I'm starting to feel like an old coach. Certain social media apps they're on and crap like that, I'm like, holy man. But there's been times where everybody has done some really good things. And June is, it's a breakdown period, right? You guys have heard it, and some of you have written articles on it, just our approach to strength and conditioning at the beginning when guys come in. And that's, we talk about competing and we talk about toughness, two things that we take pride in. We think part of that is our approach to the weight room and strength and conditioning and being the toughest, most competitive team on the floor. Every time we take the floor, that's our goal, is part of it in there. And they get broken down. They get beat up a little bit. So kind of build it slowly in terms of what we do on the floor. First couple of weeks, it's more small group skill development type things where we're implementing our system that way. And then toward the end of every week, and then a little bit more as we've gotten to the end of it, we've done a little bit more team stuff. But there's been a lot of guys that have been highlights on different days. Yeah, I mean, our three things, relentless effort, competitive excellence, and the power of the unit. I've said that a lot, and maybe it gets boring in interviews and press conferences, but we believe it in so much. The power of the unit is the uncommon commitment to the guy next to you. In this new age, with that being a dynamic and being a factor in every locker room around the country, I think the teams that have the maturity, the wherewithal to be professionals and go about their business every day, regardless of those things, and be committed to the good of the whole and to love your teammates, right? And that's a nonstop, everyday dynamic and everyday process that we're selling our culture and selling the commitment to the guy next to you. Listen, you walk down any business in America down the hallway and you look into that office, that office, that office, that office, everybody makes different amounts of money, right? And it shouldn't be the type where you're going and comparing. That's just not the world. This is more grown-up stuff now. And for an enterprise to reach its potential, everybody has to be committed to winning and be committed to the ultimate goal of the team being successful. And that's just part of the dynamic every day of what we do, what we sell to our team.
Eric Crawford, WDRB. Pat, there's so much data now when you're out recruiting that from a basketball standpoint, you get out there and look at these guys, you have a chance to kind of compare what they are on the court to what you thought they would be on film and with the data. Does this team look the way that you hoped it would look from that standpoint? I know there's no data with personality.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned I've been doing this a long time. I'm a dinosaur. You don't evaluate in June. You don't. You don't, especially in this new world. I mean, yes. What we saw on tape, we see in person. I know the caliber of people and players that we have, but at least I can't, you know, and especially in this new world where you have transfers and new players coming in. A lot of times there's a lot of parts. This time, 13. It's a completely new team. And everything being new, this environment, this building, the strength and conditioning, the terminology, the system, new teammates, new relationships. You know, not just here, everywhere, heads are spinning, you know. So what a big emphasis on us is these first several weeks is our process, is how we go about our daily business. The attention to detail and the excellence in the weight room every day and each repetition in the thing. When we go to practice, the energy we have to bring, the attention to detail. This is how we do it. This is our process. And if you can be very, very consistent with that, I believe, throughout the course of not just a few summer weeks, not just two summer months, not just 3 or 4 months, but if you can stay consistent till the final buzzer sounds, you know, good things happen. The outcome takes care of itself. And through adversity, through the ups and downs of a season. So I'll be able to let you know, heck, not even at the end of the summer, maybe not even after the Bahamas. There's always that time when it's like, here we go. It's clicking. I'm feeling it. You know, and some teams, it happens like that. Some teams take a little bit longer. My team at Charleston 2 years ago, a lot of new faces, man, and it just clicked sooner. And, shoot, we won a million games out of the box and ended up winning 31 games. Last year, we stunk early. We stunk. And, you know, the world is, the ceiling's falling. What the heck? They were top 25 last year, and we went up to this deal at the Naval Academy, and we stunk. Consistent. We ended up winning a million straight. I might be able to tell you in 3.5 weeks. I might be able to tell you in 3.5 months. But, you know, staying focused on that process, that's boring as crap to say, and you guys roll your eyes, but that's what we do.
Coach Corey here. How important to you has it been to have a guy like Peyton Siva help revitalize a program?
I mean, Peyton Siva in any organization makes them better. I mean, in our program, yes, he makes us better. Peyton Siva's in the law firm down the street, the car dealership, the restaurant, the school. What? Car dealership? Kelsey Chevrolet from our family to yours. I always throw that in there. He's just a world-class dude, man. I mean, he's obviously basketball, brilliant, accomplished, national champion, all the stuff that we say all the time. But he's just a world-class dude. He just lights up a room. He brings energy. I love guys that go about their daily business with a smile on their face. Peyton feels blessed to be in this building and back in this program, but he feels blessed to be walking around with his kids in the community. But yes, Peyton makes us better, and I love having him.
Matt McGavick, Sports Illustrated. Pat, going back to the roster construction front, the majority of the players either are coming from teams who went to the NCAA tournament or have some sort of postseason-type accolade, like Conference Player of the Year, Tournament Player of the Year, so on and so forth. Was that something you sort of took into account when putting together the roster in an attempt to maybe like lay the foundation for the culture you're wanting to establish here?
I mean, it's a factor. When we look into things on when we decide who we're going to recruit and who we're going to go after, they win. We take that into consideration. I mean, it's not always you could get a really good player that was just in a bad situation that didn't win where he was at. But, you know, you like – that's definitely something that you consider. A guy's come from winning programs for sure.
Mr. Tony, KY Sports TV. I'm curious about – what you've seen out of the guys so far as who's going to be the dogs on your roster, and what is your approach to putting together your starting five?
Approach to, well, to the dogs, I mean, hopefully got a bunch of them, you know. It's like picking out who stood out, you know, picking out who's the dog. I mean, dogs are competitors, dogs are winners, dogs are... you know, guys that don't back down, that grit their teeth, that bow their neck, that I like to think we got a bunch of them. In terms of my approach to deciding our starting lineup, compete. There's nobody in that locker room that was promised anything in recruiting, and there's nobody in that locker room that's been promised anything to this point. I really cannot have a starting lineup conversation until probably the day before the first game. You might say, oh, this is the guys that started in the Bahamas. Well, those are the guys that were the most productive in practice, right, up to that point. Maybe not. But there's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah, Rick Bozich, WDRB. When you have 13 guys, I mean, you're starting, as you said, completely over. What's the most challenging thing to establish, first of all, to get them to buy in?
The most challenging thing to get them to buy. I don't think there's a big challenge to create buy-in. We got a lot of guys that are, I'd say all of them, they're leaning forward, they're eager, they're receptive. You know, because it could be easy for somebody that's been somewhere for a long time, that's caught in their ways, that, you know, this is the way I've done it. They've been awesome. They've been completely open, accepting to what we do and how we do it, which has been awesome. I don't know if this is the most challenging thing, but terminology. Because in basketball, I mean, there's a universal basketball language, but different programs call different actions, different things, and different, you know, so sometimes that takes a little bit of getting used to. And then just, not only, I mean, I feel like our guys are doing an unbelievable job of bonding off the court, right? I mean, you just, whether we do team functions, just them hanging around, there seems like there's a great rapport. But then there's a rapport that has to be built over time on the floor, you know, especially guys have been in a certain program for a long time and kind of know when this guy yings, I yang, and when he zigs, I zag. And part of that is a process that will take some time as we go through the rest of the summer and into the preseason.
Last four questions, guys, we have mics. Tim
Sullivan, Parts Unknown. Two questions. One, this basketball program is dependent on, for revenue, in this athletic department, and you as a coach are also kind of a public figure, more than kind of. Are you getting spread too thin at all in the demands of trying to be that public personality? The second question is, what's the story on the tattoo?
I'm trying to think which one I want to answer first. The first part of the question is, are you getting spread too thin? I've said this, I think, at my press conference. I can't remember, but somebody told me in business a long time ago that you don't have to be the smartest one in the room, but it's helpful, and you better own the smartest room. I got a smart room. I got unbelievable support staff around me, right? You talk about fundraising, you know, if you mention that, but meeting people and cultivating relationships, people that we have in this department that do that and make it conducive for me within my schedule. Like, you have to meet with this person. Boom, that person's in my office this morning at 9 a.m. I can't tell you who it is. And man, I enjoy that. I love building relationships with people and interacting with people. It's one of the things I'm passionate about. But they do a great job of, they're like point guards, man. They set the table for me. They're great assist guys. And it's important for me, like all basketball players do, when somebody throws you a great assist, you got to point to the passer. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm acknowledging the help that I have. The people that, man, Steph, who's my executive assistant, unbelievable. You know, you see Lottie back there. You see Rocco. You see so, no, I think the support that I have and the way that people look out for me and value my time and know what the most important things that I have to do and then lead me in that direction, and I trust them implicitly, it's allowed me to focus on right now what's most important, and it's those young men over there in that locker room. But trust me, man, I know there's 1,000 plates that I have to spin. I know the significance and the importance of basketball being successful at this university and how that impacts the rest of the city. I'm well aware of that. But I think the people that are in place to help me has made that job much, much easier. Oh, the tattoo. I mean, it was late in life. My daughter, like, I walked in, she was like, who are you? Like, what in the heck has happened? She was crying. I at Winthrop a couple years ago, I told the guys, if we go to the tournament, I'll get a tattoo. And if we go to the Sweet 16 this year, I think it was 21. It was the year we came here and played in the bubble thing with DJ Burns was on our team and Chandler Baldwin. We had a really, really good team. And I said, if we go to the Sweet 16, I'm getting a sleeve all the way down here. That's what I told him. And we went to the tournament, so I got it. We didn't go to the Sweet 16, so here's it at. So I don't know what it's going to take at Louisville for me to get the sleeve. Josh Hurd right now is crapping his pants hearing me say that. So we'll jump off that bridge when we cross it.
Kent Taylor, WLKY. You mentioned, you talked about some of the outside things you have to do. Earlier this week, you sent out a video to season ticket holders.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Renewals are due here coming up on July 1st. Make the case
July
for people.
July 1st, like, you know, it's, you know, people's hard-earned dollar are hard-earned, you know, and they have a lot of choices in today's day and age. I mean, obviously, in this town, I know important basketball is, and I know the passion that people have for it, and I know it's been a little bit of a tough time here recently, but, you know, I would passionately convey to the people of this town to give us a chance and give this team a chance. Can't make promises in life because you can't always, but the thing I'm going to tell you is it's going to be a team you're going to be proud of. July 1st, a big, big day. People that are listening out there, you know, give Louisville basketball a chance again. And then, you know, the other thing is you mentioned the NIL world, how important, right, NIL is, and the 502 circle and the guys over there, man, they work their tails off. And for our fan base that's listening out there, y'all know how important that is. And we ask people to step up, and y'all have stepped up. And we need you to continue to. You know, people say all the time, like, you know, I love Louisville basketball. I think the thing that we're asking you to do in the 502 circle in the NIL space is to show your love, right? And everybody's in different situations, depending on, you know, what your financial situation is. But contributing to that is a big, big deal. That's the lifeblood of collegiate basketball. And like I said, those guys are working their butts off, and we're very, very lucky to have them here in Louisville as a part of what we're building. So thank you for those that have, and I'd ask you guys to continue to consider being a part of that initiative.
Yeah, Brooke Sultan again from the CJ. Did I cut someone off? I'm sorry, Kendrick.
What do we say before? 22,000 people, everybody gave $100. That's $2.2 million. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but not that anyway.
So when we spoke last, I guess just several weeks ago, you mentioned, you know, that Michael Cassidy has a bunch of, you know, he has like, you know, just like a books upon books of, you know, like your offensive system. I'm just wondering, you know, how much do you plan to get those installed, or, you know, do you have an expectation for, you know, just, you know, just,
yeah,
you know, just how far along?
Great question. That's an awesome question. Now, the installation process takes a while, and it evolves throughout the course of the season. The guts and the core of what we do and how we play offensively is based on more randomness. We call it the beauties in the randomness, and our flow and how we play after makes and after misses and after an action breaks down. And there is a method to that madness as well. But obviously your ability to execute, you know, set plays and getting certain players certain shots at different parts of the floor at different parts of the game is very important. And that's a process that kind of evolves. We've began to introduce some of those things, kind of the shapes we play out in some of our set plays. My staff's really, really good, and I value those guys tremendously. They do an unbelievable job in the areas they're responsible for. And I think one of the things that we've done a good job of, and Mike's really good at this, is he takes the complicated and makes it simple. So in his mind, in my mind, in terms of the offensive coordinator, for instance, it could be complicated in his mind, but the way that maybe you organize, you structure, you label, you name your terminology, it simplifies it for the players. That might not make a lot of sense, but sometimes it takes a ton of time, like hours and hours and hours and hours, to come up with a method to simplify it for the guys, you know? And I think we've done a good job of that over the years. We've started to do some of that the last couple practices. The guys have been great. They have fun with it. We talk about GBT all the time. I might have said this before. I hate when I say stuff twice, but Joe Madden, I forget who he's coaching now, but he used to be the coach of the Cubs when he used to kick the Reds' butt, and he used to say GBT, great baseball talk. He loves great baseball talk. He loves guys talking X's and O's in the dugout, in the hotels, on the airplanes. And we value GBT here. We have a veteran group that loves to talk hoop.
Coach Kendrick Hastings from Wave. When you have a team full of new guys like that, how much does it help that you brought a couple of guys over with you from mm-hmm. Charleston and know what to expect from practices,
yeah,
know what your expectations are,
so,
and relay that?
Yeah, Rain Smith, James Scott, Kobe Rogers, are three guys that obviously are ahead of the curve in terms of all that, because they know it all already. And that's been great. It's been awesome to have those guys. First of all, they're winning players. They're championship players. They helped us do a lot at Charleston. They're great communicators. They're great teammates. So in not a way like I'm a know-it-all, I know what I'm talking about, and you don't. They do a good job in their own way of – I know Coach Kell seems a little crazy right now. This is what he means by that. You know what I mean? One of those deals. So, no, it's awesome to have some of those guys that kind of know our deal.
Coach, thanks.
All right. Thank you all.
Hey. Well, there you have it. That was Coach Pat Kelsey meeting with the media, talking a little bit of everything there. I think just, again, it's we're going to kind of get used to what his mannerisms are, his coach speak, if you will, and that's not an indictment on Coach Kelsey at all. I mean, it's June. He was very consistent in that. I thought my man Jeff Leitze did a good job asking the question of if anyone's sticking out, because that is a talking point. But Coach Kelsey was very consistent talking about.
I thought Leitze said stinking out, and I was like, what?
He said, oh, stinking out? Oh, stinking. Like, oh, no.
Hey, Jeff, I hear
right, weird question. Oh, okay.
Stick eight out, yeah. No, but Coach Kelsey was very consistent in talking about the evaluation process and everything, that it's June, and that he's not going to, really it's still a small sample size. They're still early in their development and practicing together and coming together as a team. And, he talked a little bit about how this is a completely new team, although made up of savvy veterans, the majority of them at least. It's still a brand new team. And we will definitely see.
You guys couldn't see it, though. Okay, because I
was going to say, I didn't have the visual. Did you?
Remember what I said. I wanted a psychopath. This guy actually, I think, enjoys being like doing media stuff.
Oh, no, like, I mean, that'd be great.
And you don't really see that in any coach, professional or college. Like, they're all like,
well, he is.
Ah, I gotta do this now.
I mean, we've seen great coaches come here in the past and not handle the media.
Guy that can handle it, though.
I mean, Chris Mack comes to mind. Excellent coach, but couldn't deal with the scrutiny and the being under the microscope all the time. We're still in the honeymoon phase of Pat Kelsey. Until he has a losing streak and everything like that.
He lost on a buzzer beater there. We hate you now?
Yeah, I know, right. So
what?
Right. So we'll see how the relationship is. But everything I've seen so far is just a man that absolutely is hitting the layups and embracing the media and the spotlight, doing multiple car washes here on our station, which is fantastic, something that we didn't have.
I gotta ask in Jeff, the past. There was a smile from Kelsey when it was like Jeff Lightsey Jr. here asking his question, like, so I was like, oh, wait, Jeff. And I looked up, and like Kelsey's like cheesing, like, all right, hold on. He actually kind of likes Jeff. That's good.
Nice. That's a great thing. But no, he seems to have a great relationship with the media so far. It wouldn't surprise me if he really enjoys doing the media availability. I mean, like I said, the multiple car washes that he's done here on our station already is more than we've gotten from the last four coaches here. Now, granted, we are an official partner with U of L now, so that helps. But even still, I mean, we weren't getting that when Coach Payne was here, and we were a partner with the university. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. And then the question from Sully, talking about is he getting like kind of fatigued with everything. The media availability. I mean, he knocked that out of the park, immediately giving shout outs to his support staff and, his Stephanie, his assistant, Lottie, Rocky, or Rocky, Rocco, giving shout outs to all the U of L, PR team and everything like that. I thought that was pretty impressive. Again, it's a man that is just consistently hitting layups. And CL Brown asked a good question as well. There were some good questions that I think were asked in that. I like the quality basketball talk or whatever, the CBT or whatever, like
GBT.
GBT. Great basketball talk.
Started
I like that.
From Joe Madden.
Yeah, Joe good Madden with the Cubs.
Good baseball talk.
So I thought that was kind of cool. It was a good press conference from Coach Pat Kelsey. We'll take a bottom of the hour break. Pops is going to rejoin the show. He's just on a conference call right now, taking care of some business. So he'll rejoin the show. We'll talk a little bit about Pat Kelsey's press conference. We'll talk about the NBA draft. We'll talk about Patino's comments on part of my take in KSR earlier today that has everyone up in an uproar.
Wait, I have a question about that.
Yeah, what's
so does Big Cat and like PFT, they go on KSR?
Yeah, like
I saw that and I was like, wait, what?
I could be wrong.
Because I didn't know they had Matt Jones on there.
I think that Pardon My Take basically fills in for KSR. So like they're doing Pardon My Take, but Pardon My Take is going to be like, what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
like they're doing Part of My Take and then doing KSR. They're doing Part of My Take and airing it on KSR.
Okay, that makes
to fill
sense
it. I think that's what they do. And they did a great job in getting Coach Patino today.
They're boys with him.
Yeah, no, no, he's come on, I think, two or three times with them. So, no, he's definitely got a relationship with those guys. But his comments definitely getting the UofL fans and the UK fans into tizzy today. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll get Eric Crawford coming up at 2. Your text welcome as well, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. We'll take a bottom of the hour break. It is the V Show. It is a Thursday. It is ESPN 680, 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Coming back from break here on ESPN 680 105.7, Pops rejoining in the studio.
Right.
We do have Javon Hadley, Chucky Hepburn, and Rain Smith coming to the podium now if we want to hear from
sure,
them.
Sure, why not? Let's get to know the boys. Got to get to know the boys.
Did you like to watch the draft last night? Were you watching and you see your couple former teammates picked? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. It was cool to see them get picked for sure. I'm always going to clap for the next guy forever because, those are my guys. Those are my teammates. So, congratulations to them. But it's a surreal moment because, I was playing with them the whole season and then they got drafted. So it's cool to, know some people in the draft and, hopefully be there next year for sure.
Chucky, why Louisville for you? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people recruited you. What were some of the things that stood out?
Yeah, the very first time I got on the phone with Coach Kelsey, he was just an energetic guy, before I even got on the phone with him. I had just been through his Instagram just searching, that's the type of player, type of coach you want to go play for. And, it just brings a very energetic character to the team. And, it just always brings a mood. And, that's what you love to see from a player.
Rain, just someone that played for Coach Kelsey, what's it been like, having some of your teammates from Charleston, but also helping everybody get adjusted to what Coach Kelsey's like, the practice schedule, and all that stuff?
So obviously I've been with the staff for 3 years, and with Kobe and James coming along from Charleston as well, I guess it's on us to kind of lead more vocally and get the guys to kind of understand what Coach Kelsey and the rest of the staff expect and kind of their personalities, because Coach Kelsey is a different kind of guy, real quirky and everything like that. So you kind of get the guys to just kind of figure that out and kind of lead from a vocal standpoint, from the standard and the culture. It's a very mature team, I think. Most of us have 1 year left, and you kind of get this vibe that kind of everyone's in it to win, and that's the most important thing, and we've all got 1 year, so this is it for all of us, and we want to make a run in the NCAA tournament, and that's kind of the goal in mind throughout every workout and just every day.
Hey guys, Brooks Holden. Just wondering, Pat was just left and he was saying that, you guys have already started, trying to put in some of your offensive and defensive system. Just wondering, how's that been going for, both, two people who are, this is your first time playing for Pat, and then Rain, do you see any differences so far? And, some of the things that you're trying to do now just based on, some of the pieces that you have on this team here.
Yeah, I would say the offense, in terms of the offense, I would say it's pretty similar to Colorado's in terms of just a bunch of versatile guys, very similar in that sense, playing through the trailer.
So I know a little bit about the offense already. So I'm already a little bit used to that. So that puts me, I guess I would say, in that leadership role where I can help everybody else with that as well. And defense, I mean, we're going to be a problem off rip. I'm already knowing. And just, you know, in practice, it shows. We have a really, really, really talented team. And we have length. We're versatile. We're athletic. We have a little bit of everything. So, I mean, when we start clicking, you know, in a couple of weeks, it's going to be a problem for, you know, anybody that we play for sure.
It's a whole new system for me, but I feel like I'm getting adjusted to it pretty well. And it took a couple of days for me to kind of get it down. But, you know, I think things are starting to finally click for me. And, you know, once I get settled in and comfortable in this offense, and this whole team's going to be cause some trouble.
Yeah, comparing from previous years with Coach, I think a lot of the principles stay the same. We'll keep that consistent, but kind of the big difference is we got so many guys that can play different positions, so it gives us kind of different looks, and I think that's kind of been the biggest difference from years in the past, is just seeing kind of more guys playing different positions and just being more versatile all around.
Guys, kind of take me through your first reaction when you heard, I mean, you're going to the Bahamas in November, so now you're going again here at the end of the month, and what you hope to get out of that trip, whether the competition, the team building, that kind of stuff.
I would say I'm sure we're all pretty excited to go to the Bahamas, not only once but twice. But in terms of basketball, you know, we're beyond excited to, you know, test ourselves a little bit before, you know, the season starts and before everything starts to ramp up a little bit. So it'll be fun to, you know, take that trip with the guys and, you know, get closer with each other. Especially that's, you know, chemistry is a big thing, you know, no matter what team you're on. So I feel like just going to the Bahamas and, you know, playing those games, hanging out with each other, just experiencing that trip as a whole will kind of just put us, you know, steps ahead because, you know, we need that. We're a whole new team, whole new staff. It'll be super good for us for sure.
Matt McGavick, Sports Illustrated. Rain, couple questions. When you entered the portal, did you kind of have it in your mind that you were just going to follow Pat Kelsey wherever he went, or did you kind of give it a couple days to think? And two, what was it like performing in Japan this past weekend for the Australian national team?
Yeah, so first, it was definitely an interest that I'd want to follow, and obviously it takes a couple of days to kind of figure everything out and the whole process and what makes the most sense. But at the end of the day, that's the staff that kind of trusted me coming out of Australia when I was 17, 18, so, and I have a lot of trust in Coach Kelsey and the rest of the staff, so following them ended up kind of being pretty easy. And the Japan trip, I mean, it's a great honor to represent your country in any format, so it was a great trip and a really good experience. Kind of playing for your country is kind of no better feeling.
Tim Sullivan. Rain, you mentioned that Coach is a little quirky. I wonder if you could give us an example that we don't see, you know, from practice. And what would you warn your teammates about?
I think most people have seen the shoe video on social media. So a lot of stuff like that. There's times when I've kind of seen him just when he's telling guys to where to be on the court. During like a set play, he'll kind of run down and lay down and point to the exact spot he wants you to catch it. So that's kind of stuff like that's funny. And he just brings so much energy and just he's just so passionate about it, like every single day. And that's the thing. It's like there's not one day I've been with him for 3 years that he hasn't brought energy. So kind of expecting that, because there's days that you don't feel like bringing energy, you're a little tired and whatever, but it's like with him it just doesn't stop, and that's kind of, you kind of feel that too and kind of get the guys to realize that it's literally every single day.
Tom Lane from WDRB TV. What did you guys, for any of you, what did you know about the history of Louisville basketball, and have you learned much since you've been here about it?
Yeah, I'm still learning new stuff, but I had a older kind of like a role model growing up, Okoye Gal. He played here years ago, and he's from Omaha, Nebraska. But my best friend used to he used to be over at my best friend's house all the time. So, you know, I always idolized him growing up. And so he still lives down here. He's kind of taking me under his wing, you know, got my hair cut through him, and not from him, but one of his barbers. His hairline's receding, so that never happened. But, yeah, he's just kind of taking me under his wing, you know, kind of showing me around a little bit and kind of letting me get comfortable here in the city of Louisville. You know, love the city of Louisville. It means a lot to I know the basketball means a lot to the city, and, you know, that we're going to try our best to bring this back around.
Ken Taylor, WLK. Okay, well, Rain, you're known as a great three-point shooter. What's like a normal drill that you do, and what's, you know, say you shoot, I don't know, 100 shots. What's the most you've hit? Is there something that stands out a day when you almost didn't miss?
Probably the main drill we do is five-minute three, so it's just five ball, one rebounder. My best score percentage-wise is 79-82. And I've had a few, like 81, 86, and like 81, 88. They're probably my best scores out of that drill that we kind of do consistently. So.
I would just say the 502 circle. I mean, just everybody coming in, especially new recruits. It's one of a kind. Like I said, the city of Louisville, donors, just everybody that surrounds the whole 502 circle has been nothing but great and, you know, generous to all of us. And, you know, we're extremely grateful for that. There's going to be people that, you know, are think bad about NIL and athletes shouldn't get paid, athletes this and that. But at the end of the day, we're just extremely grateful. You know, we're not going to, you know, look too deeply into it. There's always pros and cons to, you know, how everything in life, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're just extremely grateful to, you know, be surrounded with the 502 circle here especially, and just the whole NIL world especially.
Yeah, I would just say everybody in this locker room here, they just want to play basketball. You know, we got goals of getting a national championship, you know, ACC championship. And we're not looking for that right now. We're looking for the bigger picture. And we like I said, we won national championship. So
yeah, I mean, NIL, it's great for the players to be able to earn money, and it's always going to be pros and cons to everything. And I think what the coaches and the staff have done a really good job here is kind of making sure everyone's in it for the right reasons. We're not here for money. We're not here for any of that. We're here to, it's the best opportunity to make a run in the NCAA tournament, and we don't really want to lose focus in that.
Javon and Chucky, Rain's used to the quirkiness. The first time you guys experienced it, what kind of went through your mind?
I honestly didn't know what to think. I was so serious. I didn't laugh. Like, everybody was laughing. I was just, like, straight face because I didn't know what to think. But, you know, it just kind of the love to see that as a player, you know, you can laugh a little bit. And, you know, when your coach is being like that, you know, I got to learn to laugh now. So it's going to be funny.
Yeah, I would say it was definitely new to me. Sort of finding that level of having fun, you know, with your teammates and your coaching staff, but at the same time getting stuff done. I think he does, Coach Kelsey and his staff does like a great job of finding that middle ground. And that's, I feel like it really is, you know, helped our team come together as a whole, because, you know, we're joking with each other, laughing with each other. But then the next possession, you know, somebody gets dunked on. Like, there's like a middle ground that, you know, we're trying to find. And, you know, it's been pretty fun to find that.
You know, this team is, you know, got a ton of veterans, but you do have the one freshman, Anna Kanai. I'm just wondering, you know, Pat said he's someone, you know, that acts like a veteran. Have you seen that from him? You know, just that, you know, I'm so far in workouts, like, I think it'd be tough, you know, for like a first year player to come in with a bunch of veterans and, you know, guys who mentioned, you know, that this is your last year. But, you know, what have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, I would say in terms of Kanai, just simply being a freshman. I think we all are going, every freshman in the country has gone through it. No matter who you are, five-star, one-star, no-star, you know, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. You're going to go through it. You know, your body hurts. You're not used to the college weights, the college practices, the physicality. But Kanai has done a great job. You know, his body is, you know, up there with the best of them. You know, he's not too worried about, you know, the five stars and all that other stuff. Like Rain, I touched on a little bit earlier, everybody's here for the right reasons. But Kanai is taking leaps, and, you know, we're going to need him for sure. So, you know, grateful to have him and, you know, sort of be those leaders to him and look have him look up to us in that sense.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. That was Javon Hadley, Chucky Hepburn, and Rain Smith. If you couldn't tell the voices, Chucky had the deeper voice. Rain, of course, had the Australian voice. And that, of course, leaves Javon Hadley. So there you go. Good stuff from them. I like the question about, they were asking Rain Smith about the quirkiness that is Coach Kelsey. And then they asked Chucky Hepburn and Javon Hadley what their first reaction to it was. And Chucky was very serious. It was, didn't laugh. Everyone else was laughing, and Chucky was just like, what the hell is this guy doing? And then he gradually started, you know, warming up and chuckling and laughing along and everything like that. I thought that was, have you had a player like that where you're just like, you're trying to be funny, you're trying to like engage with them, and they are just not?
They're bad. Players are generally bad comedy audiences.
Okay.
Because they are afraid if they laugh at the wrong thing, it'll work against them. So it's always safer to just
Be straight
stone faced. And so, but that would bother me more because I was bringing out my A list stuff and they were like just
chirp, 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 chirp. Yeah.
Kid Brex cracks me up. But yeah. So, yeah, it's a little different. But then they, and especially when you're, you know, me, that I share with Coach P. The most comedic things come out of my mouth when I'm
swearing,
most pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the sarcasm just drips. Players don't always appreciate sarcasm. In fact, they generally don't like sarcasm. So they just tune it out. So you're not really getting your point across, but it makes you feel better. You know, I mean, even the most buttoned down, straight laced coaches have that trait. The late Morgan Wooten, may rest in peace, once said at halftime of a game, he had Adrian Dantley in high school, and he said to him, congratulations, Adrian. He looked at the stat sheet. They were sitting there halftime. He said, congratulations, Adrian. You got one more rebound than a dead man.
That's a good chirp.
Pretty good. Pretty good. All right, top of the hour.
Eric Crawford will join on the other side.
Yeah, we'll talk to Eric, and we'll talk to you as well. 267-9680. It is Thursday, which means we also have a second edition of a V-Stakes coming up, and yeah, a lot of good things going on. They're playing right now, in fact.
Cricket?
South Africa absolutely annihilated Afghanistan yesterday. I mean, like, I'm trying to put it in basketball terms.
Afghanistan. Oh, okay. I didn't know that they had advanced.
Yeah, they were there at the four semifinals of South Africa versus Afghanistan, and the one going on today is the A-list match. England, the defending champions against India, the number one seed coming in. I'll tell you the score on that in a minute, but give you an idea how much they won. Afghanistan batted first. In cricket, you know, the other team... we'll take a break, and then we'll come back right here. Stay with us. ESPN 680-1057.